Podcast. You're listening to Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. My name is Brian David Thompson, and I want to thank you for listening, and I want to thank you for subscribing and telling a friend and all that good stuff. We're broadcasting today from Las Vegas, and I'm in studio with CK Thompson and Mike Thompson, both. It's going to be a good podcast today, and I think we're going to start out talking about the Sword of the Lord. Does that sound correct?
Yeah, that sounds good.
All right.
Welcome. I want to say welcome to everyone who's listening today, and tell your friends. We're coming to you from Las Vegas, beautiful Las Vegas, Nevada, and I might add beautiful and cold Las Vegas, Nevada.
It's cold, not snowy,
but chilly.
Yeah, and I keep forgetting that it gets that way this time of year, even in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we're going to just let her rip today, and that was my basic topic, the Sword of the Lord, because it has to do with the election season this time around, and what the Lord's doing in America right now. And I'm going to ask Mike some questions about that. He just put out another video clip and mentioned that this is the Hebrew year. What is it? 5777.
Correct.
It's the year of the Sword of the Lord.
Mm.
Yes.
Yeah. And it's, which is the anointing of God on godly confrontation.
That's definitely. That's one of the aspects of it, is confrontation. You know, in the 10th chapter of Matthew and also in the 12th chapter of Luke, Jesus talked about he didn't come to bring peace, but division. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, he came to bring peace. He's the Prince of Peace. But what he was talking about is that the peace that he was bringing and the kingdom of God he was bringing would cause division, because it would be those who didn't want it.
Right.
And so it would cause families and cities and stuff to be divided and arguments. And
yes, it's a spiritual dynamic. And so many people don't understand what's going on in America right now because of it. There's like, they try to liken it to, you know, like elections in the past. And we've never seen such an intense election in our lifetime where the people were just so, what's the word? Polarized.
Yes, definitely.
The country, and to the point that people were just, I mean, literally families not speaking, husbands and wives like not speaking to each other over this whole thing. And so on the news, they're trying to make sense of it. They try to hark back to, well, at this time in Mitt Romney's or, you know, Obama's campaign or whatever, those things don't even compute with the kind of spiritual dynamics, the emotions that was going on with this election. And
that's true. I think, CK, that, you know, in the natural realm, those statisticians, those historians, those people in the media, all they tools they have to work with are natural tools. So they try to figure it out. They totally miss the spiritual dynamic.
Yes.
That God could be involved. And if God's involved, then it's going to cause some kind of division.
Mm-hmm. That's true. In fact, let me read this in the Amplified, just to shed a little light on it here. Matthew 10, this is Jesus talking. In verse 34, it starts, he says, "Do not think that I have come to bring peace on earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to part asunder a man from his father, and a daughter from her mother, and a newly married wife from her mother-in-law, and a man's foes will be those of his own household." And that's in the Amplified version. But that's really a lot of what's been going on.
Recently, I believe it.
In this election, and it still continues even after the election. Have you noticed that, Brian?
Definitely. Yeah, people are still upset about it, you know, or happy about it, depending on what side they were on. But
right.
And people, you know, of course, all the stuff about people crying and just being
actual news
and
journalists
not accepting,
crying on TV.
Yeah, people posting pictures on Instagram of themselves crying, which I don't really get necessarily, but they're taking pictures of themselves, a lot of people doing that, and then putting it up on social media like Instagram, you know, just picture them with puffy cheeks, puffy eyes, just crying, you know, just proving to the world how upset they are, you know,
that's
about
amazing.
How it turned out.
Because we've got a whole generation of kids that were not, the kids that were, they may have been alive at, during 9/11 attacks on the World Trade Center, but they were too young to know what was going on. Then they were raised in this mm-hmm. society, and especially the last 8 years of such a, what do you want to call that society? Socialist, nearly socialist, under President Obama, especially the liberal situation in our country.
Social justice,
yeah.
climate,
where
perhaps.
They're just basically, you know, mourning over, I mean, they don't know what America used to be like. They don't mm-hmm. understand what freedom of speech actually is. They don't understand what it's like to actually have capitalism that works because the government isn't bailing everyone out. People are actually, you know, companies have incentives to stay in the country. They go after these corporations and stuff and say they shouldn't have to. I mean, they regulate the snot out of them
mm-hmm.
and then put so many taxes and regulations that they end up moving and taking jobs out of America. Well, that's what happened because they could not afford to hire anybody here. Where in the past, when capitalism worked correctly, you don't punish the people that are prosperous, the companies, because they provide the jobs. You don't punish them by giving them high taxes and regulations. You actually reward them for being prosperous. Don't punish them for prosperity. Reward them for prosperity because they are the ones that provide the jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been all switched around upside on its ear because now, you know, the liberals' agenda was to tax the B. Jesus, oh no, out of everybody, oh dear, and then use our tax dollars to create government jobs. That's not capitalism.
No.
And then you've got more people thinking, you know, on entitlements and everything, and they don't know how to work. They don't know how to go get a job. They think that the government owes them something. They don't understand where that money's coming from.
Mm-hmm.
It's just...
Mm-hmm. Well, the government promised them that. And, you know, all of the young adults have gone through the last 8 years of their life, which were primarily their teen years and now their young adult life, under that administration, under that progressive mindset, being told by the government that the government was going to do all these things for them. So they basically entered either late teens or early 20s in adulthood, believing the government. And mm-hmm. all of a sudden, whoop, snap of a fingers, it's all taken away.
Yeah.
And it was traumatic. It traumatized them.
Right. Because they didn't know. They don't know what freedom really feels like. They don't know what it feels like to be successful at something and have the sense of accomplishment because you worked a job or you built a business or something and you actually were prosperous. They don't know what prosperity feels like.
Right.
So they think if you are prosperous or someone who's rich, there must be something wrong with them.
Mm-hmm.
Make them spread that money around. Why? Go learn how to make some money yourself. I mean, the Lord told me, because this is Prophets Don't Wear Plaid. and shout out to Jason Bale for the name. Thank you. I just don't want anyone to forget. He helped me find that name. It's a joke, folks. But actually... It's not in that, actually, I don't wear plaid, but also, it's not a legalistic thing, but I don't fit in the box, okay? You can't stick me in a box.
That's true. I've tried.
This little... yeah, ship
not
me
really.
Somewhere. Just ship me away somewhere. Well, the Lord told me that President Obama had brought a spirit of poverty on our country that we had never experienced before. And so you have 8 years of... this spirit of poverty just getting stronger and stronger, and that's part of it, is people do not know what it feels like to prosper. And so now the Lord has raised up a man who has a spirit of prosperity, and he understands authority. And a lot of them are very offended at him, even Christians, because they don't even recognize authority when they see it. First of all, you got these people that don't believe in submitting to authority. They don't like authority. That's one thing, but...
Mm-hmm.
They don't understand that prosperity and authority go hand in hand.
That's true.
You can't be prosperous if you don't know how to operate in authority. Well, Donald Trump is gifted and anointed for prosperity and authority. He knows what it takes. He knows the art of the deal. He knows, you know, He's anointed for those things. God raised him up because God is taking back America. That's the point. And the world doesn't get it. If they're not clued into the things of God at all, they truly do not understand that God is taking back America.
That's true.
It's getting ready to change big time, but it's going to be great again. It really is. Mm-hmm. They just didn't ever know what great felt like.
That's true.
And that's the reason they were, like Hillary said, sleeping in their parents' basement or whatever. They couldn't get any jobs. There were no jobs that could support a family. They had muck jobs. That's what we got in Bill Clinton's administration. Lots of muck jobs. They were talking about, oh, he created all these jobs. Yeah, they were muck jobs. They're the kind of, you go to college and then you come out and get a job where you ask if they want fries with that. So we haven't really known the kind of prosperity that we used to have since Reagan, really.
True.
So,
Yeah, and we can remember. We're of the age we can remember what it was like. Mm-hmm. And that's the advantage, I think, that we have. It's more of a perspective in understanding what life is all about. And, you know, the younger generation of people, they'll catch on.
Oh, yeah.
As we go along, they'll see how it really was meant to work.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's part of that, you know, the polarization that you've been talking about. Mm-hmm. Why that we're saying, even in this podcast, that it's the sword of the Lord that's involved.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be healing. There will be coming together. There will be prosperity.
Yeah.
As the Lord moves things along, because he has a destiny for America and his hand is in this.
Yes. And everything that people have been afraid of about, you know, recounts or different things like that, the Lord has just smacked it down. We've mm-hmm. continued in prayer, and we've encouraged the people to continue in prayer, because confrontation is not just a one-time event. It's a process, and you continue to keep the spiritual pressure on.
Yes.
But the Lord is seeing this through, because for one thing, I've said it's the boomers' election. It was the boomers' election on one hand. It's also, I know there were others too. It was the working man's election, and man is probably the operative word, because men have been so squashed with the politically correct stuff for so long that they all finally just kind of stood up and said, forget this.
Mm-hmm.
We want to have jobs where we can support our families. We want to be treated like men again. How about that?
Yes.
And that's not a mental illness. I can't believe some of the crap that the spirit, the ruling spirit of Jezebel brought on our country in the form of political correctness, where they try to teach men not to be men.
Yeah. Tried to gender neutralize not only the population, but emasculate the men specifically, so that they couldn't stand up. Well, the men said, we standing up.
Exactly. It's true. So, the sword of the Lord.
Exactly.
That confrontation.
Yeah. The confrontation that went on in the spirit, and it still continues, and how the Lord had showed me Donald Trump and Mike Pence as Elijah and Elisha, because people knew that, okay, Donald Trump was like, and he is. Now, some people are getting afraid that he's getting off base, or he's not going to keep his promises or whatever. No, this is the man who wrote The Art of the Deal. This is the man who's made billions of dollars because of his knack for understanding and working with people. He doesn't just get mad and say, I'm not speaking to you anymore. That's not how you become prosperous. He's a very wise man, and he's doing stuff, and maybe people don't understand, like they don't agree. Like, oh no, he's being sucked in. No, he's not. You just watch. Watch and see what this man does. He knows what he's doing. He's got the wisdom of God on him. And
God's using him.
Yes. But that's all part of that sword of the Lord. It has brought mm-hmm. a division that our country has never seen. But Elijah, it says at the very last chapter, Abadi. Okay, that's my... Porky pigging. at the end of Malachi, the very last verses of the Old Testament, that it says that the Son of Righteousness would rise with healing in his wings. And the Son, actually S-U-N, but it's capitalized. And the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. And it goes on to say, and then Elijah will come, and he will turn the hearts of the children to the parents, and the hearts of the parents to the children. So Elijah, in this case, an application, is Donald Trump, who's the wrecking ball. Elijah was a wrecking ball.
Mm-hmm. The fiery prophet.
Yeah, he was the fiery prophet that killed the prophets of Baal, and I mean, he was out there large and in charge, and whooping up on Jezebel and giving everyone a run for their money, and then Elisha came along, which I believe is Mike Pence, God's man under the radar, and he's the one that comforts the people. He's more pastoral. He's like kind of like the anti-Elijah. People don't realize that. I love the Amplified. It brings out some of that stuff. That Elijah was such a passionate guy that people were afraid of him, that prophet. And I see that dynamic going on with those two. It's going
Definitely.
To be very interesting.
Very, and especially, CK, when you realize that it wasn't until Elijah actually was eventually taken away that the mantle and the double portion came on Elisha.
Uh-huh.
And so it was a very similar spirit, and the power was there, but through a different vehicle.
Yes. And I could go out on a limb right here and say, I do believe that Donald Trump is going to have two terms. I do. Now, don't call me a false Woo-hoo! Prophet if it doesn't happen. But I do believe it. Not only that, but I believe that when he leaves, that double portion's coming down on Mike Pence, and he's going to lead our country into some very prosperous years. And the reason, godly prosperity is a God thing. So many Christians are afraid of money. And they, oh no, rich, wealthy, mean, wicked. No, it's not wicked to be wealthy. It's the spirit behind it. He intended his people to have money. There's a difference between godly prosperity and the wealth of the wicked. Totally different.
Mm-hmm.
You see a lot of progressives and stuff using the wealth of the wicked to control and manipulate entire countries and stuff, you know, these billionaires and stuff. But when godly prosperity comes onto the scene, people start coming to the Lord. It takes money to preach the gospel. It takes money to have a peaceful country where people are, there's not as much crime in a prosperous country.
True.
We're supposed to pray for the welfare of the country you live in so that you can not only live a quiet and peaceable life, but so the gospel can be preached unhindered. And when there's so much turmoil and torment going on in the spirit, it's been crazy time. Hard to get the message of God's goodness and his grace out there. And yet, watch and see, because revival, as the Lord told you in that first vision that you actually went public last April, about Donald Trump, and that the Lord said this was the last piece of the puzzle before revival touches down in America. And there's so many people that don't believe or understand what revival is. They don't. A lot of Christians that don't believe it's coming because they want judgment. It's not time for judgment.
Mm-hmm. That plus they also think that somehow they have to see the effect in their own individual local church.
Right.
And that revival is, you know, somehow connected with that. When, man, the meat is in the street.
Yeah.
Revival is happening. It's touched down now.
Right. There's an anointing that's rushing into our country now, even now, before the inauguration. That's why we have to keep the pressure on in the spirit, because of the enemy trying to stop. The main reason he's trying to stop Donald Trump from getting in there is because the revival is connected with it.
Oh, that's true.
And revival takes on a life of its own. People get nervous, like, oh, no. I'm going to have to go to church every night for 7 days, you know, do that kind of thing. We're going to have to come up with a worship set every single night. Sounds exhausting. No, man, when revival hits and touches down, it takes on a life of its own. And we are just barely old enough to remember what it feels like to be part of revival like that. It's life-giving. It's energizing. It's not work. It's like the easiest thing you ever did and called it the ministry. I mean, seriously, it's the easiest kind of ministry you can do is participating in revival. God's kind of revival, not churchism revival.
Right.
The real deal, authentic, God taking the nations, the kingdom of heaven invading earth. That's what this is about.
People getting saved, society changing.
Yes.
The culture expecting that... that God is going to somehow enrich and embetter things.
Yes. Instead of people standing on a street corner with a sign saying, you know, judgment, you know, the end is near. You're all going to hell. Oh, man. You remember when we were at, how many years ago was that? Brian, do you remember when we were at Knott's Berry Farm wow, you guys were like teenagers or something. Which time?
Right.
And there was that guy that was standing out there preaching. He was preaching, and he was just preaching this hellfire and brimstone stuff. He was telling everyone that walked by that they were going to hell.
You know what? I don't even remember that. I must have blocked it out or something.
You must have. Or you were on a ride somewhere.
Maybe.
We
but yeah, actually, I'm glad I don't remember it.
We were over by that little white church there in Knott's Berry Farm, and this guy was out there. Everyone that went by, he just presumed they were all sinners.
Mm-hmm.
And he wasn't preaching good news. He wasn't preaching the gospel. He was just out there shouting about how they were all going to go to hell.
Oh, that's not very spirit-led.
No, it's really not. And even if some of it was true, he didn't tell them about the love of God. I don't know if he even told them about Jesus. I was just over there thinking about, what do we do? I didn't want to be associated with the guy.
Yeah, well, you weren't wearing a sign around your neck that said Christian.
No.
So nobody knew.
Right. And there was actually some people that said, how do you know that I'm going to hell? What makes you think that I don't know the Lord? And he argued with them and said it's something about how it had to do with what they were wearing. Or something stupid.
So he was making snap judgments.
Absolutely.
I see.
It was like a totally...
He was profiling.
He was profiling. Mm-hmm. He was looking for sinners. Mm-hmm. Uh-oh. She's got nail polish on. She must be a sinner.
Right.
Back in those days, you know, a little too much makeup and you were a sinner. Yeah, he was just decided everyone was a sinner and I wanted to go over and punch him. Then I would have been a sinner. But it saddened me because that's not revival. But if the church world has been representing God to the world that way, mm-hmm. or doing the seeker-sensitive stuff that strip all the power out of it, and then here's a God that can't do anything for you.
Right. You can just continue doing what you've been doing, living the way that you have been living, and we will not do anything that makes you uncomfortable.
Right, like preach the word, or tell you how to get saved. Hoy.
Right.
It's been a crazy ride in America.
It has, but the real Jesus is standing up. The revival is happening.
Uh-huh.
It's already touched down. I've seen it.
You saw it.
Mm-hmm.
You saw it in a vision. Can you give me a brief, tell us something that's encouraging? Just one of them, tell us. You've seen so many.
Well, I keep going back to the one that it has the common thread that weaves its way through the different encounters I've had and just how that the Lord has dealt with me about it. And that is the one where he showed me the swirling mass of rainbow colors hanging over America. The Lord took me into the atmosphere and the angel talked to me about it and how that was coming to America. And since then, it has actually touched down. But it was a move of God, a sovereign move of God. And one of the final pieces of the puzzle, as you mentioned earlier, was this election, 2016 mm-hmm. presidential election and the other, you know, election of other officials and stuff that go along with it.
Mm-hmm.
And you hit the key, or at least one of them, is when you said that God wanted to shift things, restructure things, and to spark prosperity.
Yes.
And that's a signal
mm-hmm.
for souls. It's a signal for revival.
It is, isn't it?
It is. It's an authority release.
Yes. It's like the kingdom of heaven is here. When God shows up, there's money.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the glory of God is literally associated with gold in the Bible.
Yes.
God created all of the gems and everything. I mean, the gold, the silver. He created all the money in the earth, all the wealth. And he created it for his own children. So for the fact that they would think that that's not godly is really stupid. But that when prosperity springs forth, that is a signal that revival is here.
Mm-hmm.
Authority, prosperity, revival.
Did you know, CK? I know you do. But I'll get it on here anyhow, that throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, there was never a time that revival, spiritual awakening, a mass move of God happened where God's people were really drawn to him, that there wasn't prosperity of the people, the culture, and the nation that went with it. It always went with it.
When the people turned to God.
When the people turned to God, they prospered.
Yeah, absolutely.
They didn't get poorer.
Exactly.
Poverty isn't from God.
No. No, when they struggled with poverty and all of the horrible things they went through, it was always when they had gotten out from under their covenant, you know.
Right.
When they returned to the covenant, that's where the blessing and the prosperity is. And that's what God is doing with America, because he had covenant. He made covenant with the founders of our country and even the people who came here. The original people who came to America were coming to escape religious persecution.
Yes.
People need to remember that, because we're right almost like just over 200 years now, and the religious persecution has begun here pretty big time. God's going to turn that around. And people think that it means they have this fatalistic idea, and I don't know where they get it, because it's not in the Bible, that things just have to get worse and worse and worse and worse and worse until, well, I know there's things where God said that there does come a time for judgment, but it's not yet. And just because things are rough, people decide that it's time for judgment.
Right.
And what gives them the right to do that? God is the one. He said, I would have mercy rather than sacrifice. Mercy triumphs over judgment. He is sending mercy to the United States of America right now. And that in the form of revival, prosperity, and the kingdom of heaven invading our culture. Because he has covenant promises to keep.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, there will be judgment on those that, you know, reject the goodness of God. But it's not up to us to say that that's right now. I'm amazed at people who would rather have judgment than revival.
Yes. And judgment is an aspect of the sword of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that when spiritual truth comes forth from God, and there's a sword of truth, and there's a spiritual confrontation, and that confrontation is by the word, it's also by us upholding the word.
Yes.
And when it brings that division, because there are the rejectors of it. When they reject it, the judgment is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's not God coming down and having to beat them up.
Right. It's like they're already punish judged.
Them.
They're already judged.
They stepped into the judgment.
Yeah.
They're already judged. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus said the prince of this world is already judged.
That's right. We get to be witnesses of the greatest revival that has ever hit this planet.
Mm-hmm.
We are here as eyewitnesses. We have been eyewitnesses of the future for a long time. And that's probably why we're so excited about this. And the Lord told me years ago, he's saying to me, you'll see it with your own eyes. You'll see it with your own eyes, the glory of the Lord. And he was talking about this day. And to be alive in this day, what an honor. What an absolute honor. God's people, wake up, wake up, wake up. Come out from among the churchism. Be ye separate, man. Mm-hmm. Get out of that mess and be part of what God is doing in this earth. You know, there's some churches that revival comes and goes and they never even knew it.
That's true.
That's really sad, yeah. They wouldn't recognize the Holy Ghost if he walked in wearing a red hat.
Mm-hmm.
And it's sad, but true. But they have no frame of reference. And God doesn't want them to have a frame of reference. Let God be God and let him show you what he can do.
Yeah.
It's an adventure.
After all, it's called the good news.
Yes.
If you want to get somebody saved, tell them how good God is. It's the goodness of God that leads to repentance.
Yes. Don't tell them they're going to hell. I mean, it's true if they don't accept Jesus, but not because God wants them going to hell. It's simply if you're not choosing the way out.
Right.
But yes, good news. You don't have to.
Tell them the answer.
The answer is Jesus loves you. He has such awesome things in store for his people. It's an adventure beyond your wildest imagination. I've never had so much fun in my life living and being alive in this day in age. This is what we were waiting for. This is our time, man.
Oh, I'm excited.
It's a phenomenon that the 81% of the evangelical voters in America voted for Donald Trump.
Yes.
I mean, you can get anybody into unity about anything. There's nothing short of a phenomenon.
That was a miracle.
That is a miracle. So we're very thankful what God is doing. I'm going to just go ahead and wrap it up for today. We can talk about it more next time. Did you have any thoughts?
Oh, you're doing good.
Okay. I just want to thank my listeners again and thank the Streams of Many Waters podcast network and bless you guys. And I also want to tell you, what's that joke?
Which one?
The Happy Holidays is what terrorists say. We say Merry Christmas. As a joke. Okay. And at that, we'll say goodbye and God loves you.
Merry Christmas.
Yes, indeed. Thank you all for listening. We'll catch you next time.
And thank you for listening to the show. You can reach C.K. Thompson or Brian David at prophetsdwp@gmail.com. Or check out their website, www.wordoflifeworldoutreach.org. Thank you very much for listening to the show, and we'll see you next time.
The show you've just heard is part of the Streams of Many Waters podcast network.